I would suggest that those you can identify within your communities as living symbols of the truth and respect of Rastafari, you should search and seek the answers that you need from these people, and I can guarantee you that you will not be misdirected. Thank you.
Okay. Let us go back to our telephones right now. Good morning. You're on WLIB.
Yes, good morning, Mark, to the family and to the good brothers, Rastafari, that's there. This is Ted from the Northeast Bronx. I just wanted to ask two specific questions. One, it was, I guess, just answered, and that was about more information in the form of books or writings in reference to Rastafari and what it's all about. The other is, why is Manly and Siaga, and I say is as opposed to was, embraced as saviors of Jamaica? And the reason why I'm throwing that out is because the good brothers Peter Tosh, Bob Motley, and Jacob Miller was assassinated. And I'm wondering, basically, because in the Western world, or those brothers that's in the brothers and sisters that's in the diaspora outside of the Caribbean, that are not that well versed in the Rastafarian movement, are not have been brought to be aware of Rastafari through these brothers and others, but in particular those three brothers. And I'm wondering if it was a conspiracy simply because they were so knowledgeable or influential in bringing people to at least embrace the Rastafarian movement into the heart, if not physically. I'd like to ask those questions of the brothers that's there.
As to Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Jacob Miller, you might not have got your records so right. Peter Tosh of the tree was really the one that was assassinated. Jacob Miller died in an automobile accident. And Bob Marley died mysteriously after going through some white clinics in Switzerland and other places. Bob Marley died. But as you should know, the doctrine of Rastafari, even originating in Jamaica, had official opposition. You don't find any governments of the world willing to endorse Rastafari within its entirety, for the simple reason that they feel it's a threat to their security. It might not be a physical threat to their security, but with the dogma of Rastafari taking hold on the minds of man, all governments would know that they would have to reform. So, in Jamaica today, I think I've answered one, but in Jamaica today, as far as Manly and Siaga is concerned, the Rastaman bunch both together, you know. We put two of them in one bungle. It's like a crab. A man crab with one big claw and a small claw. You might be able to play around in the big claw without being bit until you reach the point of the claw. But the little claw, you can't play it at all. Well, that's likened unto both regimes. And to tell you the truth, both regimes are not really people of the... is not really Africans who are heads of state. The heads of state in Jamaica, both government and opposition, are Caucasian. So, in the Rastaman estimation, we do not see them. We do not see them as our leaders. We see them as the rulers of Jamaica, but not as our leaders. They are Caucasian. So, Manly and Siaga doesn't really figure much in our discourses. We only have to watch them because they are governments, they wield the power, they have everything in their hands. We are not opposed to them in any violent opposition that would try to overthrow the regime that they may set up. But we are opposed to any government that does not think of an African repatriation.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Good morning, you're on WLIB.
Yes, good morning, Mark. Good morning to the family, Jeff's son, I hear Emmanuel, and to the elders. This is Delroy, and I'd just like to say that, I mean, I've had the fortune of taking in a lot of what the elders have brought. And my question is, now that we've had a chance to hear you, will we get a chance to chant a little bit with you before you leave?
You know, the people in the United States, they are the people who set the program. And some of them is sitting right here around the table. I do not know if any one of them, Jason, for instance, Jason Ross McCannon, Priest Ivor, Ross Emmanuel, they are three brothers that have set the program here for us. So I think Jason is about ready to answer you.
Greetings to the caller.
Good morning, Jason Delroy.
Yes, I know Ross Delroy.
Yeah,
I recognize your voice, and I also have to say to you immediately that it has really been a pleasure to see the fact that you have come to the assistance of the elder delegation and pledged your works. And we give thanks for that.
Rastafari.
Selassie. As to the continuation of this, even in the sense of conversation or reasoning, as the Rastafari would say, with the elders. The elders will very shortly be leaving for Jamaica.
That's why I'm making a plea.
All right. Now, personally, I believe as to the man has access to the elders' reasoning because you have shown your worth and you should be rewarded for your work. So you have access, and you and I can reason on that at any time, and we can do
yes,
that.
Yes, but my concern is for the people who are listening now who are just getting a touch and a taste and would like to have a little, at least get the feel and see and touch a little bingy before the elders leave. That's because I've already had it, so, I mean, I'm full, but
all right.
I'm sure in the audience there are people now who at least are curious enough, and I'm sure that there's enough Rasta in the area who just tune in and would like to touch the bingy before the elders leave, so.
All right, on this part of it, Ross Delroy. The elders, as I've mentioned, will be leaving very shortly for Jamaica. However, for today, there is so much to be done. The elders will take a sojourn to New Jersey in a portion of today, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1 o'clock. They will be in New Jersey. They will be in the Irvington, East Orange, Newark area, whereby they will get an opportunity to view New Jersey as a part of the landmass of the United States, and also to give a visitation to the Rastafari community within New Jersey, the Irvington, Newark, East Orange area. There are many people in that particular area who are familiar with the works that takes place on behalf of Rastafari in the Irvington area, New Jersey. Now, if one who is listening in is really keenly interested in having reasoning with the elder delegation when they get to Irvington or East Orange, Newark area, I have to stress that, they should tune in with one of the locations such as Beaumont Stores on William Street in East Orange, New Jersey, and they will get information because this is part of the Rastafari community, and this will allow them access to the elders when we decide upon the location where we will most likely be. So if one just keep tuning and come to this particular area of East Orange, for instance, the Beaumont store at William Street in East Orange, you will get information and an opportunity to reason even further.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Good morning. You're on WLIB.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I've been exposed to the Rastafari, you know, from young, you know. But being born in America, I always found a certain type of a barrier between myself and Rastafari. And let me just explain the nature of this barrier. As I got older, what I perceived them to look at people born in America and people who may not have had dreadlock and may not have had a certain accent as being, let's say, Yankee or bald head and of American mentality. And they also seem to have like a certain culture, know, surrounding, let's say, like the use of ganja or marijuana. And what I've observed is this evolving into the laundering and selling of drugs in this modern day. Now, I don't know. I see many brothers with dreadlocks selling this now. And like, so my question is this. All the people I see, and all the people who I may have been exposed to, are they necessarily Rastafarians? And if so, how would you justify them being involved in the drug trade as much as they are? Because they are a force. I mean, the Rastafarian brothers are a force, or the brothers with dreadlocks are a force in the drug community. I mean, they have a name for themselves.
Well, you know, that may be part of the problem, is whether you say that they're brothers in dreadlocks or whether you say that they're Rastafarian.
Well, I don't know. See, because many times I hear them saying Jah Rastafari, and then greet each other, and them refer to American blacks as Yankee and Ballhead, and they look at them seemingly different. They have no problems with selling them drug and using them and killing them and things of this nature, and having complete disrespect for the people and the environment around. And I don't see them fostering anything positive. For example, I don't see none of them have schools, that's it. I don't see them teaching children, like, mathematics and reading and science, because if they really plan to go back to Africa, I mean, they can't go back to Africa with just religious philosophy. I mean, religious philosophy is good to establish a way of life.
See, I might live here for many years, nearly 20 years now. See, I am preserver, see? And the thing is, the concept of a brother look for the next one and say him don't like him because of language or barrier. Those are just a part of the colonial minded man, you know. We are here to teach our people wherever we are. We teach love throughout the world. As far as even the last question with the iPost technology, I'm an electromechanical engineer, see? I might have a company in this country, same way. And we deal with technology. The reason why you don't see school and thing monks one-on-one is because we get a fight. Every time we as African people set up school, we get a fight different from any other nation inside here. Because as we set up a school, we claim racism. Our school from, we say, all African people. It's like a racist school. Many attempts have been tried, my brother, but it failed on the part because of we don't have the support of our own people. Once we put up an African establishment, we do not get the support from even, because even here as African people, or even as Rasta, we don't have the community as at large as even the African who is born native of this country. And once we open up the thing, they don't support us, you understand? And we need all the strength we can get because of the same thing. Even though the ICA people are here calling you Ballhead or Yankee, yeah, I never went out and seek to find out if there was anybody. It's because you already stereotype that all of us are the same. We don't go around and stereotyping people, you understand? We are here to teach people, and that's primarily one of our major objectives, to teach the right. And right does not deal with the barrier of language and Ballhead, man. We are here as one people and as African people. And that's how we can that's the only way we can unify ourselves, by starting to look at each other as we are. That is what somebody say that we feel. You have to know yourself. And that's what we are here to do, man.
My brother, this is Russ Emmanuel. As you said, you've seen dreadlocks selling drugs. Rastafaris have nothing to do with drugs. Anyone can grow hair on their head, and I'm sure you have hair on your head. It would be wrong if I had to run around and say everyone who has this new hairstyle is a junkie or a pimp or a prostitute. So that I should look in yourself and know that you should not pick up the ways of the European by casting these stones at your people when you see these things happening. Drugs is not the African man's business, and it is not the Rasta man's business. If you see a dreadlocks selling drugs, then that's his business.
Well, hold on. When I say I was exposed to it from young, I've spoken with brothers, and this seems to be no way to become a Rastafarian. If you wish to become a Rastafarian. And like the philosophy, is very strange sometimes, and you don't know what it is.
My brother, listen. As I said, I grew up in England. I needed to know about Rastafari. I went to Jamaica and I sat at the feet of our elders. Now, if you want to pick up your righteousness in the street, I would not advise that. You sound like an intelligent man. Now, you need to go to the proper forms to gain this knowledge before you start criticizing it. I would suggest that if you do not get an opportunity to speak with these elders now, go to your library, seek out the books, what there are on Rastafari. Instead of going on vacation, go to study in Jamaica. You'll see the white boy down there all the time. He's up in the hills trying to find out about Rastafari. I and I as Africans should not be in confusion about Rastafari at this time. One love.
Okay, thank you for calling. Good morning, you're on WLIB.
Good morning, brothers.
How are you?
Okay. I have this problem that always crops up. And the problem is, it seems to me that we are such a people that any time that we do not want to face reality head on and in the raw, we come up with an interpretation of God as if we were not God ourselves. Why I bring this up is that it seems to me that the Africans born in this country have gone through enough to attest to the fact that they are very strong people. And if they are a very strong people, new interpretations of God by the brothers Rastafari or the Muslims or anybody else is not going to solve our problem. If we are one family and we find that what we teach is a barrier to that family, perhaps we must not examine the family as much as we examine our doctrine. And what I'm saying that is this: there is a decided difference in our approach to our own family because we have been poisoned by a book called the Bible, a book called the Quran, the Tribhakita, the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you want to call them. And this has been serving as a measure through which anytime we make a move to unite ourselves and to bring ourselves into a state of Pan-Africanism, each time there is a new savior, a new doctrine of saviorism that violates the very concept by which we should raise ourselves, which is African manhood. I don't think there is no doctrine that is going to teach us how to be other than African men. And after we have achieved that level, it would seem to me we can move on then to the Godhead. But we have not finished our boyhoods, evidently, and so we come up with doctrines instead. My question to you is this: do you believe that there's anywhere on the face of this earth that the African is more African than an African?
No, we in the world, man. We suffer the same tribulation in four corners of the world, from Africa throughout all the way, the Western Hemisphere. We are under the same exploitation. We are totally subject to this European colonization, wherever we are. We are not preaching any new doctrine or teaching anything new to anybody, man. We are just the root maintaining the African, because a lot of people say in Africa, but they're looking at Africa as something that to be exploited. We are talking Africa as one people, one nation, no separatism. We don't care because we say Rasta. We are just Rasta from the platform that we are larger from. But we are embracing all African people. We are no more African than any African throughout the whole world, because anyway you're going to look at us, we have something unique that no other nation have. And this is the wool that's upon our ears. So we could not fight against no wool here, man, you understand? Whenever they see this, it's because most people doesn't see us. They fight against our wool. We maintain our native state. We maintain our primitive state. That's all we are. We just maintain this. We're not preaching anything new to anybody. We're just here to let people know that Africa has to liberate itself from the four corners of the earth, man. We're not teaching nothing to separatists or anybody. We want the whole African family to come in. But because of colonization, that's why most people are fighting against the various religion.
My brother, are you there?
Yes.
A people without a God is a people without hope. All nations of the world has looked forward to a divine deity in all phases of their history. Black, white, yellow, red has got deities. We are no different from other peoples of the earth. We have got a Godhead to look forward to. That's the hope of a people. A people without a God is a people dead. It's like a tree without roots. So when we endorse the philosophy of the divinity of Emperor Haile Selassie, the Rastafari, we are not doing anything outside of the norm. We are doing what other nations have done in the past and are still doing today. You understand?
Yes. Can I ask you a question? May I ask one more other question?
Okay, you got to make it quick.
Yeah, my one other question is this. Do you not see that the approach that are made by brothers, not only from the West Indies area, but from Africa itself,
our approach to each other becomes a barrier and not a bridge. And I'm simply saying to you that if we accept the fact that we are African men and rise up together to defend our women and our children, this will do more in terms of propagating the African manhood doctrine and all of the divinity that it implies than it would if we come out of the Christian Bible that has been polluted.
Look, let me tell you this again. It was written and stated that in this 20th century, the hope of all black man would be Rastafari. Hence, we know that nobody can organize or unite without you have a focal point that you are driving at. When the great Marcus Garvey was on the scene, Marcus Garvey was a man all looked up to, but he had a hope. He had repatriation. He made his hope a reality by people going to Liberia and other parts of Africa. You cannot organize people within their African nest without you have something to show them. You have got to have something to point to, a star to point to. People cannot be organized to see their African manhood and womanhood without they have a motivating influence. Rastafari is the motivator who come to organize all of you who are there squabbling and fighting against each other, saying this is not the way and that is not the way. The way is Rastafari. You'll have to come to this way if you want to be a future African in freedom. It's the only solution, Rastafari. Nothing else today. No other black organization in the world today stands for what we stand for. So that is, so it go.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. It's a minute past the hour of 11 o'clock. Gentlemen, I want to thank you all very much for being our guests this morning on WLIB. It's really, I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Hopefully we can have a follow-up of some nature.
Sure, definitely.
Yes, I'd like to make an announcement. For the 23rd of July, Emperor Elias Selassie had the first birthday. We in Prospect Park, over the past 13 years, have the traditional Naya Bingay to give thanks and praise to our Lord, you know, our King, you know, His Imperial Majesty Emperor Elias Selassie. Yeah.
Rastafari.
So, Bingay go on, you know, as usual, the 23rd, you know.
Okay, and what time will that start?
Well, it commences from evening, you know, from 7 on, you know, until morning.
Okay, 7 p.m. on. Again, gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, thanks, brother.
Carl Ferguson has the 11 o'clock WLIB New York News.